Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
First, the dramatic firing of FBI Director James Comey. Late yesterday, at the recommendation of Attorney General Jeff Sessions, President Trump fired FBI Director James Comey. In a letter to the director, the president said that it is imperative that we find new leadership for the FBI that restores public trust and confidence in its vital law enforcement mission. He also added that he greatly appreciated Comey's informing the president on three separate occasions that he is not under investigation. But Comey was leading an investigation into whether members of President Trump's campaign colluded with Russia to influence the 2016 election. Now that Comey has been fired, what happens to that investigation? What will it mean going forward? I've asked former federal prosecutor and Mitchell Hamlin Law Professor John Radzin to join me to talk about it all. Good morning. Thanks for joining us, John.
Good morning, Marianne.
I'd also like to get you in on the conversation as well. Are there concerns you have with the way Director Comey handled the investigation into Hillary Clinton's emails or President Trump's campaign team that you feel justify his firing? Or does his dismissal shock you? Call us at 651-227-6000 or 1-800-242-2828. Or you can email us, talk@mprnews.org. John Radzin, briefly, what was your reaction when you heard that FBI Director James Comey had been fired?
I was shocked. I was amazed. And I don't have those reactions often. This was a big story to me. I heard in some of the reporting that at first Comey, while he was speaking to a group of FBI agents in Los Angeles, thought that this might have been a practical joke. That's an indication of how out of the blue this story was for me, and I think for many other people.
Let's listen to a clip of President Trump. This is from a campaign rally in Michigan last October, and here he is praising Comey.
And I have to give the FBI credit. That was so bad what happened originally, and it took guts for Director Comey to make the move that he made in light of the kind of opposition he had, where they're trying to protect her from criminal prosecution. You know that. It took a lot of guts. I really disagreed with him. I was not his fan. But I'll tell you what he did, he brought back his reputation. He brought it back. He's got to hang tough, because there's a lot of people want him to do the wrong thing. What he did was the right thing.
That's President Trump talking about James Comey last fall, praising him for his handling of Hillary Clinton's emails. So what changed?
That's very difficult to say. I start with the letter. I don't accept the rationale from in the letter or the accompanying memo from the Deputy Attorney General that the Attorney General reviewed. They said that they wanted to restore morale in the FBI, that they wanted more professionalism from the leadership at the FBI. They criticized many of the actions that Comey took during the campaign, and that relates to the Hillary Clinton email investigation. They criticized Comey for being so open in negative statements about Clinton, even though he was saying they were not going to bring a case. I think there's some suggestion that Comey violated Justice Department regulations by making announcements very close to an election. It's very different, as you're implying by playing that clip, from what Trump, the candidate, was saying during the campaign. If we don't accept the cover explanation, we're left to speculate what are the reasons. And I don't know. I don't think that anyone knows other than the president and a very small group of his advisors. I'm not even sure that this was debated within the cabinet or anything like that. So people can say maybe it has something to do with the Russia investigation. People can speculate that Trump eventually got tired of Comey, some of the remarks that he made after Trump came into office, remarks where Comey would not support Trump's tweeting that the Obama administration had wiretapped him. Or more recently, Comey said that he was nauseous, I think was his term, that he may have affected the relationship. Trump, we hear, is somebody that watches televisions. That may have been too much for Trump, and he said, let's do it now. We'll get it behind us. One other possibility is maybe Comey is too independent for a president like Trump. Obama, if you recall, picked Comey, who was a Republican at the time, nominee because of his independence. They thought they needed somebody like that at the FBI. They liked the bipartisan message. I think we all need to be careful of what we ask for. When we say we want independence and integrity, sometimes you get too much of it for a particular taste.
And we should say here that Comey was not popular with Democrats or Republicans. And is that part of that being a bipartisan sort of neutral position, that he was equally disliked on both sides?
I think that's a sign that he's doing his best to do the right thing. He's going to disappoint both sides if he's in a position of power long enough. Where I feel sad for him is that his legacy would have been at the time of him standing up to the Vice President Cheney and the President Bush about the terrorist surveillance program, he would have gone down in history as one of those great public figures that stood up for the rule of law. There's been talk about the Saturday night massacre, the firing of the special prosecutor in Watergate. People forget who the attorney general was at the time that said, no, I will not fire the special prosecutor. That was Elliot Richardson. And I think that it was not far-fetched to make those comparisons between Comey and Elliot Richardson when he was deputy attorney general, the acting attorney general on the TSP program, the terror surveillance program. He was prepared, and there were at least three levels of the Justice Department prepared to resign because they felt that the White House and the political people were not making the necessary changes. And they weren't in court. This is standing up for the rule of law in the executive branch. As a result of his decisions during the campaign, Clinton was dissatisfied with him. Trump was dissatisfied with him. I think even some FBI agents were upset that they were too much in the public profile. Comey said to himself he was trying to protect the FBI. I mean, I don't know that he did it. I know that he made mistakes. We all make mistakes. But if you ask me about him, I think he is an honorable person. I think he has integrity. I think there are many people that have loyalty and a connection to him. And there are many people today that are saying that he wasn't treated with respect. To be fired in that way is something that I think is cheap.
You've actually met James Comey. What was your impression of him as an individual?
I wrote to the person, my Justice Department friend, that arranged for Comey to speak at our commencement, and back then it was William Mitchell College of Law. And as I said, I'm not easily impressed, and I was taken by what a good guy he was, how thoughtful his speech was that he did without any notes other than a napkin. And I wrote to my friend, and I said, your boss, at that time Comey was general counsel at Lockheed Martin, I said, your boss is a prince. And I don't use that word often. I don't use it about myself. I'm less than a prince. And I still have that view of him.
Mm. We're talking this hour about the firing of James Comey, the head of the FBI, by President Trump late yesterday afternoon. And we're talking with John Radson. He's a former federal prosecutor and a law professor at Mitchell Hamlin. We're also taking your calls if you'd like to share your thoughts on the firing of James Comey, what this means for the future of the investigation into ties with Russia in our last presidential election. What you think of it, was this deserved based on his treatment, handling of the Hillary Clinton's emails? Give us a call with your question or comment. You can reach us at 651-227-6000 or toll free at 1-800-242-2828. Or you can simply email us at talk@nprnews.org. Let's go to the phones. We've got Kelly on the line from Minneapolis. Kelly, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
So first, I want to just express just a feeling of just outrage and disrespect by Trump's behavior. I believe that his behavior is just further evidence that he is indeed colluding with the Russians to destabilize our system of democracy. And you know, he's operating with, you know, these other forces to compromise the integrity of our political system. And I would also say that we should start contextualizing this conversation in terms of Trump's tendency to like to purge individuals who questions his authority and who questions the logics of his dictatorship. And I do think that we need to start pressuring our elected officials to introduce articles of impeachment because he's just completely out of control. It's clear to me that he's colluding with the Russians, and I think that he only has, you know, I think he's a danger to our system.
Okay, Kelly, thanks for your call. Really appreciate it. John Radson, regardless of Trump's motivation in firing FBI Director James Comey, the optics can't be good in terms of the timing with this investigation into his campaign team's possible connections with Russia.
The optics were never going to be good because this investigation is going to go on. The only time that it would have been good is if the investigation was ended and nobody around Trump was indicted. Then he could have done with Comey what he wanted, and there would not have been the recriminations. But I guess even as I say that, maybe people would have said there was some reward for him closing down the investigation. So I'd like to go to the sentiment of Kelly, your caller.
Mm-hmm.
Is if people think that the system is unfair, rigged is a term that Trump used about our system, that's bad for all of us, whether we're independents, Democrats, or Republicans. What we have to have are some people or entities that we trust in a bipartisan way. So I'm thinking about basketball season, and we're headed toward the NBA Finals. If you told me that the referees are on the take, I'm not going to watch Cleveland or Golden State in the same way. We enjoy it. That's a game because we think it's fair. Politics is not a game. We want to make sure that there are some areas that are not influenced by politics. The judiciary has lost some credibility, and some would say Trump has contributed to that by attacking judges that go against him. Law enforcement has lost credibility in prosecutors because we feel that there are political decisions that are going on. That undercuts what people term the rule of law, and I think rightly so. So then your question to me would be, what is the solution? I don't know who the new FBI director is going to be. I can't imagine somebody that's going to satisfy us all to say this is a person of integrity that will handle the Russia investigation and other investigations properly. I wonder about the politics on the House or the Senate with those investigations. People have talked about a 9/11 commission. The 9/11 commission did well if our goal is to get to the truth, to find out what happened. But if people want to bring charges, if they're only going to be satisfied with officials going to jail, then a 9/11 type commission may not get us there. There may be decisions that are made, immunity arrangements that will affect the prosecution. So we have to figure out what is our goal. We need entities or people that we can trust, and we have too few of those people available to us today.
Let's go back to the phones. We've got John on the line from Minnetonka. John, welcome to the conversation.
Well, thank you, John. I got a simple question. James Comey, did he even have the right to be fired because it was a 10-year appointment? And what is the bar there? It's supposed to be for Democrats and Republicans to go past the president's term. Now listen to the answer offline. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, John.
By design, the FBI director is supposed to go past presidential administrations. It's a 10-year term. We've only had one other FBI director who was fired. That was William Sessions, who was replaced by Louis Freeh. And Sessions was accused of some improper expenditures. So I agree with John. The political sense is that we should not get rid of our FBI directors. But there's nothing that prevented this decision as a matter of law or in the Constitution. The ramifications will be political. I'm sure that Trump's advisors said to him, there's going to be some fallback. Trump may have said, well, we'll handle it. Let's see how this plays out 3 months from now or 6 months from now. I agree with John is that the statute setting up the FBI director wanted the FBI director to be somebody that goes past administrations. There are practices with our CIA director that have been violated recently. We wanted to try to have the CIA beyond politics. When W came to power, he accepted that recommendation. He had a holdover CIA director, George Tenet. George Tenet created trouble for him, but W, listening to his father, who had been a CIA director, said, let's try to have some of our agencies going beyond politics. The CIA is one, the FBI another.
The last time this happened, that an FBI director was fired, was when Bill Clinton fired William Sessions over ethical concerns. Yet Democrats are in an uproar over the firing of Comey. What's different this time?
Comey is at the center of an important investigation now. Comey had influence over the election by his decisions. There was lots of talk by Clinton and Trump about Comey's decisions. He was in the spotlight in a way that Sessions was not. And I think each candidate understood that Comey's decisions or the FBI's decisions could play into the election. So he had a much higher stature. The other difference that comes to my mind between the Sessions firing and the Comey firing is that when Sessions was fired, I mean, we had a sense that it was coming. There was an ethics investigation into Sessions. The administration had lined up a replacement, and it was a respected replacement. Louis Freeh had been a prosecutor. He was a federal judge. I think he had a successful tenure there at FBI. Today, we don't know who the nominees are, who the candidates are to replace Comey. That's going to allow this story to continue to churn, is if they came forward with somebody that was respected on both sides of the political aisle, I don't think there would be as much anxiety about this decision.
Amy Klobuchar tweeted last night, really, firing Jim Comey smack in the middle of a major Russia investigation is very suspect. We need an independent prosecutor and commission. Let's talk about a little bit about the idea of having an independent or a special prosecutor. What's the value in having a special prosecutor?
The value in a special prosecutor is that you have independence. You're going to say there's some separation between the prosecutor and a politically appointed attorney general and the president. But let's not forget that the special prosecutor will need to draw on investigative agents, and those agents will come from the FBI. And if we think the FBI has been politicized, you're going to have to look for places for different agents that haven't been tarnished. People put forward the idea of a special prosecutor, independent counsel. I don't know how successful we have been with that model. Let's not forget the Ken Starr investigation into Bill Clinton. I mean, this is an issue for our democracy. Is if we think that the attorney general is too close to the president, will not stand up for the rule of law, then we look for alternatives. But we have to figure out what is the process for choosing that alternative and how do we prevent that new prosecutor from being corrupted by the same influences that we feel affect our Justice Department. And if we're always reacting and saying we need a special prosecutor, that to my mind says we don't have faith in the Justice Department, in the FBI. And if we don't have faith in the top to the bottom, that goes far beyond any concerns about the Russia investigation or Russia's role in influencing the prior presidential election.
President Trump puts a premium on loyalty. Can he expect that from the Justice Department and the FBI? Is that how they work?
He can expect whatever he wants, and he'll take the consequences. Running the government is not like running a business. I think there's an understanding from advisors to the president over several administrations that you have to pick people and expect that you will have more independence from your attorney general, from your FBI director, than you might from your Secretary of State or your Secretary of Education, that there are some of those appointments that are seen as more political, that the Attorney General not only represents the United States, but represents our idea of justice. So you want somebody in there that you feel will stand up and to say this is not legal or this is not right. I remember these were some of the criticisms about Jeff Sessions as Attorney General. They feel that if he's too close politically, he may not be able to stand up to the president. Comey didn't have that issue because he was appointed before there, but he has that independence, and I think maybe that independence cost him his job.
John Radson, thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's been a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you.
John Radson is a law professor at Mitchell Hamlin School of Law and a former assistant general counsel at the CIA.